Hello and welcome to the Listening at Warwick podcast, examining blended learning throughout the coronavirus pandemic. I am Charlie, a third-year biological science student.
I'm Georgia, a postgraduate film studies student.
And I am Grace, a second-year politics, philosophy and law student. And we're really excited to have you here. Hope you enjoy.
In this episode, I talked to Katie and Wallah. They're both master's students and they are training to be teachers who will teach English to speakers of other languages, which is really interesting because it allows for us to reflect on sort of their approach to teaching as people who are training to be teachers and also as students. They both have a lot of really insightful things to say, and I hope you enjoy listening.
Hi, and welcome to Listening at Warwick. I'm Georgia Smithies, and I'm here today with Wallah and Katie. Do you two want to introduce yourselves?
So my name is Wallah Mouma. I'm doing an MA in TESOL at Warwick, and it's been a very interesting year.
Where are you from, Wallah?
I'm from Syria.
I'm Katie. I'm from Coventry, England, UK. We're on the same course. We're both doing the MA in TESOL. So we're both training to be, teaching English to speakers of other languages. We're both training to be teachers. I've been a teacher for about 5 years already.
So I sort of asked you in the email to describe the past year in 3 words. And if you have sort of an answer for that, that would be great.
Well, I sort of cheated because my middle word is and, but my 3 words would be ups and downs, because it's really been quite a dramatic year in terms of like the good things have been really good, but the hard times have been sort of more intense than usual. What would you say, Wallah?
I would say challenging and interesting, because it's been like very unusual year in terms of like everything, the COVID and stuff. But at the same time, it's exciting because to me, it's the first time traveling to the UK. That's been always my dream to come here. And at the same time, I'm doing the master's course that I love and adore. And it's just like amazing.
Yeah, no, it's been tumultuous. But I'm glad to hear that you both have got something positive out of it. Speaking of, I want to hear more about your experience with online learning during the pandemic. So maybe you could talk a bit about how your modules were sort of organized this year. I think that would be helpful to give kind of a context to how online learning was done.
So basically, this course was a kind of a blended learning. So we had some classes online and other classes face to face, but basically the online classes are supposed to consolidate things. So we have like synchronous classes and asynchronous content. So we check things, we check content of the materials online, and then we come to classes if it's either in person or online to discuss the asynchronous content in the synchronous session, which is the online session basically. So basically in the online session, it's quite a different experience to lots of people because not everyone was used to the online experience. In my case, for example, in Syria, nothing was delivered to us online. So I was not used to using my laptop to attending classes or reading materials or prepare for materials. And when it comes to attending the class online, at the beginning, I felt like this is not real. Like, this is not a real context or a real experience. And I was like, what? It's been always my dream to come to the UK and now I'm attending things online. I could have done that from the comfort of my home in Syria. So what's new about it? But I felt that gradually lecturers started to accommodate like different skills in order to make the best out of their online experience. So in the classes, teachers will try as much as they can to use different tools in order to make the class motivating. So for example, in one particular module, the sociolinguistics, for example. So yeah. One of the lecturers, for example, before we start, they would ask us to write in the chat box, like what things we remember about like last session. Or they will ask us questions and say, okay, type the answer in the chat box. So feel that right from the beginning, students are motivated to go to the chat box and start writing something. So feel motivated to the class right from the beginning. Or that lecturer would immediately start by asking key questions about the content that's going to be discussed in that particular session. So in this case, if they self-select, basically the student will be like ready to answer. And if they haven't, like if they hadn't checked the content already before the class, they would be immediately identified. So in order to make the best out of the online experience, that chat box feature was used at the beginning. And during the session, I liked that some students feel a little bit shy to put their cameras on, for example. So they have like the freedom to either put their cameras on or not. And it's quite inconvenient. Sometimes I remember in the face-to-face classes, for example, sometimes it feels awkward to like raise your hand during a session. But here, like in the online classroom, it's an easy feature. You could just click raise a hand and the lecturer will give you the time you need once they're done with the idea they're explaining. So it makes the communication a little bit more flexible. Of course, there are advantages and disadvantages, but I'll hand it over to Katie.
Yeah, I think one thing that I really noticed was that our lecturers tried really hard with the online learning to improve. So it wasn't that they started one way and then that was the whole year. Things changed through the year. So like Wala said, they used different techniques. But we also, you know, both of us actually were on the student staff liaison committee. And so we kind of had a bit more of an insight into the way that the feedback had been coming in. And so we could see actually the way that they responded to the feedback. And immediately after one of our meetings, you know, you would see the changes in the way that they would do something, which I really appreciated. I felt like, you know, we were being listened to. But yeah, it was a different experience for different people, because some people were able to do the face-to-face classes, but some people were back in their home country, so they were online entirely for the whole year. Obviously, for term two, because of the law, we were all online the whole time. And so I would say we were online more than we were in person, but the opportunity to be face to face, I think, made quite a big difference. And it's really hard to say from our perspective, because we only know our perspective. But I would say that we probably had a very different experience to people who never met in person at all.
Yeah, I think communication in seminars is always a bit of an issue. And I don't know, I think being online brings a bit of a different dimension to it. Like I felt a lot more comfortable talking on online seminars than I do in in-person seminars. But I guess it is just different for everyone. I'm really interested actually in hearing more about sort of your reflections on the whole sort of online learning experience as people who are training to be teachers. Has that sort of impacted the way that you think about online learning, or like the way that you think about teaching?
Well, you've been running workshops online as part of your research, so maybe you can jump in here.
So in my dissertation, I'm doing 6 workshops with teachers in Syria online. So obviously I can't reach out to those people because now, like geographically speaking, I'm in the UK, they're in Syria. There's no other way but the online communication. So when I started and I wanted to run those workshops, I thought like this is very easy because to give you some more information about myself, like I have a page for teaching English with over 90,000 followers. So I'm quite used to the live streaming, the online experience, but talking alone, like I would be the only speaker in those live streamings. But when I wanted to start with those workshops with about 9 to 12 teachers, because the number varied throughout the workshops, I was like absolutely astonished at the beginning because this is a really, really different experience. It's not easy to give every participant a fair share to participate and at the same time manage to successfully deliver the content that you intended to convey in that particular session. And sometimes it's very awkward if you want to stop a participant from talking because you realize that you're running out of time and the technical errors sometimes, like, for example, while you're talking, the slide might stop a little bit, or somebody is joining the meeting, they need to be admitted and you haven't activated the automatic admission to the people. So many things come up during the online class, and sometimes you feel it's very difficult to give the people the impression that you're controlling everything and it's okay, it's fine. So when I started with those workshops, that was the start point when I realized that the experience for our lecturers wasn't easy at all, because to them it was not just running the synchronous online classes as seminars, but also preparing offline content and upload it to the Moodle. So that was like to me a good thing to realize the effort our lecturers put in order to make the seminars a really good experience.
Definitely something that's been really important is sort of having a mutual understanding between lecturers and students, that on both ends we both know that it's difficult. So I think that's a really interesting insight, especially into your sort of work. So I also wanted to ask if you guys felt that there was any sort of significant benefits to online learning that you don't sort of experience with just face-to-face learning.
I want to mention that Katie at the moment in her dissertation is like doing something about the online experience. So she has so much, I think, to tell at this stage.
For me, more than for my participants in my dissertation, for me, the really big thing is that I'm a part-time student. And last year I was working as well. And it was just chaos, because I worked on one side of Coventry, I lived on another side of Coventry, and the university was on a different side of Coventry. And so, I mean, some days I would get 6 buses in one day. I would get 2 buses to work, 2 buses directly to campus, and then 2 buses back home again. Or I'd get 2 buses to work and then back home and then to campus and then back home. And so it just, I was constantly on buses last year. And I think it did sort of do my head in a bit. And it meant as well that like we were supposed to finish at 5:02. I would run out of the lecture hall without saying goodbye to anybody, run to the bus stop. And then, you know, the bus would, I don't know if you remember, but the rush hour getting off campus would take an hour sometimes to get home. When it would normally be like a 20-minute journey. It was just bananas. So I did spend a lot of time traveling last year, which this year I just haven't had to do because I don't go anywhere. So in that sense, I think not just the time, but the stress of, am I going to be late? Am I going to miss my lecture? Am I going to be, you know, am I going to have to walk in half an hour into the lecture and everyone's going to look over, you know, that sort of thing. I haven't had to worry about that. And that is quite a sort of uniquely part-time experience, I think, that, you know, full-time students normally aren't working as much. So in that sense, it's been quite different. But in terms of benefits, I mean, it's hard to say if the benefits actually outweigh the downsides. But there are benefits to it. I do think we, in a strange sort of way, have got a bit of a closer relationship with our lecturers this year than last year. Because they're in an awkward position, they're that little bit more looking for feedback, looking for help, looking for, you know, our input. I felt more this year that they really wanted to hear from us and really wanted to know our thoughts and our views. But I felt like at the end of this year, all of the students had a better idea of the lecturers and what they were like as people and things like that than they did last year. Can you think of any benefits, Willa?
Yeah, like in my case, like for example, there were some seminars that are like exactly after each other. Mm-hmm. So there's no time, like there's no break whatever between them. So I think if they were, for example, in two different buildings, then one has to rush and run from one building to another. And you know, some lecturers are, for example, in the Oculus, other in the social sciences building. So you need to rush between classes. So the online thing is quite experience. You press a button and then you join. And now I'm trying just to think about Katie's experience, like she needed to run to buses, not just like on campus. Mm-hmm. So I think this is one of the benefit, which is like saving some time between classes. But this rarely happens, of course, depending on the seminars. Other benefits, I just want to reiterate what Katie said. I can't tell for sure if the benefits outweigh the disadvantages or the downsides, but I can tell that it was a good experience. especially like within the pandemic, there's so many students are very, very worried and very, very careful. And some students felt more comfortable in the online journey. So they know that they're not contacting with anyone. So better, you know, for safety reasons. So I believe that was an important benefit.
One thing that a few people have talked about is the number of ways that you can make yourself heard or you can contribute to a seminar, because obviously you could put your hand up, you can use the chat box if you're using a Padlet, you can type something in there, you can email a question afterwards, and it's not particularly unusual, you know, it's quite normal to email and ask something else afterwards. And so I think it does allow for different levels of comfort. What I found though was that people either participated very fully or they didn't really participate very much at all. That was my own experience. And in a lot of seminars, so you asked us about positives and I'm starting to talk about negatives, but in a lot of seminars, you know, it was me and Wala and a couple of other people would be speaking, and then there'd be that little number at the bottom of the screen where you can see like plus 20 or something, but it's almost like they're not there because you don't hear anything from them and you don't see anything from them. So although there are all these different ways that you can join in and you can participate, a lot of the time I felt that that wasn't necessarily happening. I wouldn't say that it's a totally negative way to learn. You can talk about functions all day long. You know, you can share documents and, oh, it's, you know, we can collaborate. But again, there is something about being in a room with other human beings that is
missing.
Yeah, it's missing.
This conversation about blended learning will continue in part 2 of Katie and Wallow's conversation, as well as in the other episodes in the Listening at Warwick series. Thanks for listening.